The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
Welcome in to the two-man game with UNC head coach Steve Smiley. I am Brady Hull. Coach, my friend, hey, it was a pretty good weekend. UNC volleyball looking pretty good, taking care of Washington, taking care of Colorado Rams. State.
Yeah.
And then the football team getting the win over Chadron State.
That's right.
Pretty good, pretty solid weekend, man.
I think it's awesome for the department. Yeah, you look at, you know, the volleyball thing first, because that was Friday night. They win. Awesome. I was there. Five-set match, right? Like, you beat the Washington Huskies. You beat them in five. And then they played Saturday. Played Colgate, who's really good. You know, according to their staff, they've won the Patriot League like 4 or 5 years in a row. They are the powerhouse. But we never hear about them out here, right? Yeah. And Colgate, you know, they got us. They beat us 3-0, but they're really good. Awesome bounce back against the Rammies, right? To beat the Rammies, great crowd, great atmosphere, student section. The wave got reintroduced.
Nice. And I'm a Wave fan. That gets a negative rep with some people, Wave.
No, so the Wave started going to the student section. I haven't seen it in 10 years, to be honest with you. And student section had it going, and then the rest of the crowd was kind of looking around, and it took like two or three rotations. You know, we're finally, the rest of the crowd started waving as well. So I was like, this is cool. So
I like that.
A lot of juice in the football. Yeah. The only downside was the lightning delay. I was there. And so we had a recruit. Recruiting's parents left at halftime. So, like, the rules are, like, I can't go into, like, what's the High Plains room, which is kind of where our donors go. Love being in there, hanging out, mingling, mixing. I can't go in there with recruit parents. That'd be a violation.
Really?
So, yep. Because it's not something that is accessible to all fans, students, whatever it is. So we're out there just burning up, you know, the staff, my wife and I and our recruit parents. And it wasn't like 100 degrees, but that Colorado sun was hot. And so they left at halftime, end of the visit, and end of a great 2 days. And then I went back up, met my wife in the High Plains room. So having a good time watching, you know, the third quarter. And it's like we're rolling, you know, there's, I don't know, maybe 3 minutes left in the third quarter. Boom, boom, boom. See all the players leaving. It's like, oh, the light. Again, I've been here 10 years. I haven't seen a lightning delay in 10 years.
I think Ed should put his name in for a weatherman, by the way, because he was on the Football 52 podcast last Wednesday, and he said, yeah, we're expecting lightning, so hopefully there's not like a long delay,
because
if it delays for like 6 hours and you get
problems.
To dark time, then
now
you just
issues.
Have to... Just in the game.
In the game, or can we roll it down to the practice field, which has lights? Like, there's a lot of, like, contingency questions.
Was it like a two-hour delay or something like that?
Yeah, and I left about, I finally, you know, put up the white flag about 45 minutes into it, and because I wanted to get back for the volleyball game. And after having a recruit on campus, which is an all-consuming task, I had a lot of things I needed to do, and I saw this window between football and volleyball, some house stuff and then some actual basketball stuff. I needed to utilize that window, and as that window got closed down a little bit with the delay, I'm like, I got to bail. So I ran through the rain, got to my car, and but long story short, they got it done 117-3. So what a great first weekend for the Bears.
And you know, Chadron State's a team that came to Greeley years ago. UNC is still the same division.
Yep.
Chadron State's still the same division.
Yep.
And beat UNC
beat
and actually
Bears.
Smoked them.
Yeah.
So that was not one of those games where you look at and go, okay, it's D2. You should absolutely win. You know that.
Oh, man. Those RMAC teams are scary.
Well, and Coach, this is something that I think is fascinating, too, is as we see college sports evolve, you're seeing a lot of recruit, like high school guys, get overlooked because larger schools are so busy with the transfer portal and all that stuff. So now you're seeing a higher class. You know this more than anybody.
Yeah,
I mean,
you've
had so many great players come from junior college that nobody's talking about.
For sure.
Now we're seeing that more on the football side. So Chadron State probably has a handful of guys that you could easily make a case for playing in the Big Sky Conference or even beyond that.
Yeah, you know, 17-3 in that game, it could have kind of gone either way from what, you know, I'm not a football analyst. I don't know how to evaluate the stuff, but there was an almost snafu early on in special teams, which we averted disaster, which could have ended up in a touchdown for the, the Eagles.
Yes.
And then, a couple times they got a little deeper in our territory, missed field goals. And so there was two missed or blocked field goals that we handled business on. But that was a pretty good game. And anytime you can get off on a, you know, starting off 1-0, just the momentum, the positivity, you think about, like, going into the Shattering game, they had game week, right? The Bears did with Coach Lamb, so they're preparing all week for that, and they saw success.
Yeah.
Now, a little bit of confidence as you prepare, just again, the day-to-day. It's not about the game. It's about how do you prepare for the game. So that now what we're in right is Thursday, right? They're getting ready for the Rams on Saturday. It's not about Saturday. It's about a little bit more confidence and belief for the players going into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because they just did it. And they beat Shattering State. So I think that's how you build habits and some confidence and some belief within your team. I think it's a really important thing.
Well, when you're a team that only won one game last year and you can win your first game of the season this year, that's huge.
And we don't control, all of us, you know, the perfect schedules. But you look at it, like, I think, like, this year, you know, we have two non-division ones, which those are deathly important for us as well. But you go back a few years ago, we've had one losing year since we've been here. And we were 12-20, and we weren't that bad. So that year, we won at CSU and they had NBA guys. But we started the year off at Houston. Mm. Then we had, I think, Texas A&M Commerce at our place. And then 2 days later, at Baylor. In a span of 7 days, we played the number one and number four teams in the country. And, like, in a football world, that'd be like playing, you know, and let's not say Alabama with all the disasters there, right?
Yeah.
Let's say
Ohio State or something.
Ohio State. And then a week later, oh, now you got to go to Texas.
Yeah.
Whoa. And you're just shocked. Like, by the end of those two or three games, you start doubting a little bit. You know, we're at Houston. We got Dalton, Dalen, Matt. We got really good players, a couple of young guys too. And we scored 13 points in the first half. And they're starting to look around, wait, are we good?
Yeah.
Because you got, you know, Kelvin Sampson, the Houston Cougars out there. It feels like there's nine guys on the court trapping you around. They're just amazing. And so, like, you start – you can have some psychological damage. So I just think the psychology of this thing is really important. So I'm really happy they're 1-0 going into this Ram game.
Yeah, well, and last year, I brought this up a lot.
It was a
good game. You get into the third quarter, it's suddenly a 10-point game. That could mean a lot of things.
That's right.
Ultimately, CSU pulls it out, but – yeah, I think that there should be a belief that UNC could go in and do something absolutely crazy. I want to get into some basketball specific stuff. And I didn't ask this to Ed specifically because I thought it was awkward, but I want to ask you. On my show a lot, you know, I talk a lot of UNC, I talk a lot of CSU.
Yep.
The storyline over in Fort Collins with their head coach, Jay Norvell, is kind of like, this is the year. If he doesn't have a really good year, that could be the end. That could be his job.
Okay.
I think it would be safe to say if UNC goes into town and beats CSU, who they're thinking they can go win the Mountain West Conference, they're moving to the Pac-12 next year.
Right.
If you lose, and this is no disrespect, but we know the resources are just different, especially on football. If UNC goes and beats them, that could be the end of a guy's job. You and I talked a little bit about this last week, like playing against friends, guys that you've had relationships with. Every loss goes against them in that firing chart or whatever. How do you think about that stuff ever? Because I never have asked that to coaches before, but it's not just about wins and losses sometimes. You go beat guys, that could be the final straw that broke the camel's back, and that could certainly be the case if UNC beats CSU this weekend.
Well, like you said, you know, it's you go to CSU, and their resources are different, literally in every sport, ours included. It is massive difference. You know, however you want to say it, whether it's crowds, NIL money, whatever you want to say, it's massive. So it would be a massive win for Coach Lamb and the guys. I don't know the psychology, but I think, like, back in my world of, like, the RMAC, staying with Shattern State, RMAC men's basketball, there's like 16 teams. They only take 8 teams to the RMAC tournament.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of coaches in the league say, hey, like, why don't we just play one more round, get all 16 in? Because a lot of coaches will lose their jobs because they didn't qualify for the RMAC tournament.
Mm.
So in our world, in the Big Sky, you know, we have 10 teams. We have this formula for our tournament. We're moving to 11 next year. There are discussions. Well, what do we do with 11? Does 11 stay out? Does 10 play 11 to play in? Do we blow up the entire format that's worked great for years? Because now it's a different math.
Yeah.
And in our head coaches' meetings, we don't make the decision. It goes to the 80s, to the presidents. You know what I mean? But we're like, hey, like, somehow, some way, we need to make sure all 11 have a chance, because dudes get fired based off of that. So going back to, yeah, like, I mean, there's – we all feel pressure, and I don't think any of us as head coaches or any coaches in general feel more pressure. We don't feel more pressure from the outside than what we put on ourselves. There's more internal pressure is what I'm saying than saying, well, you know, the outside people are starting to – like, we probably hear a little bit of that noise. We try to block it out, but we hear it. We're human beings. You know, yeah. We're on our phones. We, you know, newspaper articles. But, yeah, I mean, it's it does go back to I do not like to play my friends. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. You know, like playing, you know, Wyoming Sundance, they put it out on their schedule as an exhibition game. We haven't put it on ours yet, but it is happening. But it's an exhibition game. Like, you know, because, yeah, the pressure of, you know, if there's a David, there's a Goliath, right? You know, and there's an expectation of one team, well, you should win. Same thing when we got beat by Carter Christian. That was not a good feeling, right? Yeah. And they just beat us. I got out-coached. We got out-played. They were awesome. And they beat us at the buzzer. But it's like, whoa. What's going wrong in Bear Country? CCU just beat us. And then a week later, we went at CSU, and it's like, whoa, what's going wrong with – like, it's a game.
Yeah.
It's a volatile game, right, with 18 to 22-year-olds and this and that. And, yeah, there are discrepancies in levels and, you know, the quality of player and the resource, what in theory. But it's a game, so you never know.
It's such
one
a
bounce.
Coach, your guys' your careers. I mean, obviously people in regular jobs, they get evaluated. And stuff,
sure.
Too. But we always say, you know, sports is fun for fans. Like, it is fun, and it's a game. It's not, you know, we love it. We build up to it and all that stuff, but then we still got to do the family thing. We do the work thing. But for coaches, it's like, it's fun. We love it. But if I go on a string of losses here, then suddenly that percentage meter starts to increase. So it is a very volatile situation.
And that's like I can only speak to my personal experience, like having security of having a new extension, right? Like going back a year, like to get a new extension gives me peace of mind, you know, that, yeah, it doesn't reduce my edge. Like we're trying to win. We're trying to get to the dance. But the security of, hey, if we lose two in a row, it's catastrophic in my own world, but not in like the job security world.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think those things are important. You look at like Alabama. Now, you can say, well, the Kalen DeBoer guy's making like $900 million. So like, hey, if he gets whacked, he gets whacked.
You're
like,
right.
But still, he's trying to win, and he is getting ran through the social media grinder. I mean, it is brutal.
I worried about that.
Hey.
Yeah.
There's a price if you get the opportunity to be the next head coach of Alabama after Nick Saban. What a great thing. But there's a price to that. And, you know, people feel like they have the right to judge it, and they're not meeting the old school Saban expectations. I mean, this is supposed to be the best program in the country, and it's just not going well. And so, yeah, you can just feel it. So, yeah, it happens at the pros, the college, the high school, everything.
I worried about that when, you know, it's like, who wants that job? Yeah, you want that job because whatever it is he's
millions.
Getting, millions.
It's definitely millions.
You know, you're getting taken care of, but you have the most pressure of any coach maybe ever in college sports history to try to replace that guy.
And maybe Saban pulled away because he saw the structure change of like, wait a second, we can't get all the best players because we don't. They actually don't have the most money.
Yeah,
that's what's coming up. They don't have the most money, so they can't get the best.
Isn't
roster.
Like Ohio State now is like running the show.
Yeah. And so like, it's interesting. Like, there's a lot of dynamics. People, but all people look at is what's the score.
I have some more fascinating. Did you happen to watch the Monday night game TCU and the other UNC?
I would say the other Belichick, UNC. Yeah, a little bit.
Now, okay. You're intense when it's game time.
Sure.
I'm just going to ask this. Has your wife ever come up to you and talked to you in the middle of a game?
No. Well, one, she would never do that. Two, it's hard to keep her in the arena because she gets really nervous. She starts pacing around like in the hall. It's really weird. But no.
But she's never, like, you're getting
ready. Belichick, I know where you're going with this.
You're coming out of a timeout and they're getting ready to go onto the floor, and then here's your wife whispering something to you.
No.
That's never happened before.
No.
Has that ever happened with anybody?
No.
Have we ever seen that? So we got Bill Belichick and his, like, 22, 24?
Well, from social media, I see 24, like 24 is the age, from what I'm seeing.
24 years old. Game's already blowout.
Yeah.
She was up in the booth.
Did she come down?
She was.
Oh, I didn't see this.
So she's up in the booth. Randy Moss is up there, all that stuff. But later in the game, this game is over, basically, but it's still going on. Belichick's got his headset on. She's on the sidelines, goes up to him. He lifts his headset up. She says something into his ear. He kind of like says, rah, 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 and then he walks away. I was I've never seen, not only girlfriend, I've never seen coaches' wives come out and talk to any coaches, basketball, football, whatever. this is like one of the legendary coaches, and we're seeing some of the most bizarre.
It's very strange.
Yeah. Very strange. So I was like, I wanted to ask you that today. Like, has your wife ever talked to you in the middle of a game?
No.
It's
no,
a fascinating
never.
Thing.
Never. Now, I've actually talked to her in the middle of a game. She coached during COVID. We had team buckets. All right. So this is a great story. So Power to Play, which is now NoCo, right?
Yeah, like up here.
Okay, so they had these, like, they had this league, right? And so we're just trying to get the boys to play. Like, I'm so excited, the personal story. So myself, and then it's funny now, Tanner Burkee's on our team, so I can talk about, I can't talk about the kids that are, they're still recruitable athletes, but Tanner Burkee, his dad and I played high school basketball together. We're like best friends in high school, right? So it's like, hey, like, let's put a team together. Like, we got to get these kids playing. And then Coach Reed and Johnny Boy. So Johnny Reed, who's at Black Hills State now. So we all kind of get together and say, hey, can we throw a random team together, just get them some, you know, black and white number jerseys, put them in this high school league. So it was a variety of ages. It was like Johnny was give or take an eighth grader, ninth grader, I think, give or take, which would have, let's just call him a ninth grader. Matt would have been like a, I don't know, maybe Tanner's an eighth grader. Matt's a seventh grader, had a couple sixth graders, give or take. And it's a long, it's 20, you know, 2020. And we put him on this fall league team. Nikki coached it. My wife coached it. Well, she's just like, I'm just subbing these kids in, right? So it, my only thing on the other side is just to kind of monitor, hey, like, you got to put, you know, like, we got to make sure these kids equal playing time. Devin Linder might have been on it. I can't remember. But either way, we had this hodgepodge of, like, freshmen and under players. And the freshman league, there wasn't enough teams, so it was like you had to play in a JV league. So we're playing, like, you know, Fossil Ridge High School, Windsor High, like, JVs, like, structured teams with this random team called Team Buckets. Oh, and Team Buckets got it done, won a championship.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, so she, so I did try to communicate with her, hey, you know, Billy's been out there too long, but, like, you know, the other way,
but that, like, makes 100, like, that makes total sense. I was even talking to our friend Bruce Dick, who does coach speak. I'm like, you, at the high school level, has that ever happened? He's like, is he and his wife are close? It's like, no, no. You know, and Bruce the Wade, no, never, that would never happen. And,
I didn't see that.
Well, and I always, because I quit watching, UNC just, the other UNC just scored to get to 14, and then TCU went right back down and scored again. I said, okay, I'm done. So I actually didn't see it live, but it was it was all over the socials. It's a wild thing, man.
It's wild.
It's really crazy. Coach, so it's, what is it, September 4th?
Early September.
We're getting, we're getting there. What is the process right now? I know, like, meetings and, sitting down with me. Now, in the workforce, people just love meetings. They love when they got to sit down for meetings. How is that in the basketball world?
I think this is the best thing to talk about right now. You know, so we're just wrapping up our second week of our guys being back to school. And I view the first 2 weeks of, like, let's really get off on the right foot. Let's check in. Make sure your academics are right. The housing situation, for the most part, should be good because they've been up here all summer. But, you know, before we start going crazy on workouts, and a lot of teams are going right back to team workouts, we're starting to just slowly blend in. Like, we have our third team workout today.
Okay.
We had one last week. We had one yesterday, one today. So just in short team workouts. And in addition to that, they're doing all their lifting stuff, conditioning stuff, and then small groups or individual group, you know, skill work with their position coach. So I don't want to be full team yet. It'll expand a little bit more next week and then a little bit more the next week. Official practice starts September 22nd, where we remove the hour restrictions. And that's coming up quick, right?
Yeah.
That's so 2 more weeks.
That'll be here fast.
So I thought player meetings would be a good thing to talk about today. You can look at meetings one of two things. Like, before the player side, it's either I'm a meeting guy, I love meetings, or it's death by meeting. Too many meetings. You know, Coach Linder was always like, he hated meetings. Like, you know, meetings are for losers. And I don't disagree with him. Like, you do too many meetings, sometimes you got to get the work done, right? But player meetings, this is a, I think it's a good topic today because we're finishing today my last two individual player meetings. It's taken 2 weeks to get all these player meetings. It takes about 30 minutes, give or take. 16 guys. That's a lot of time in addition to all the other things we got to do. Myself, player, and the position coach. I think they're important, and not to do the mandatory ones all the time, but, like, to phase a few. And you listen to, you know, I try to always steal from coaches or get, you know, suggestions or whatever it is. And some coaches have some very structured schedules with it. Some don't. Tony La Russa. Old baseball coach.
Yeah.
Either when he's with the A's or the Cardinals, this is a big Don Meyer thing. How do you? His goal was to connect with, to touch a player, not physically, but, like, to connect with the player every day in practice. What's the baseball bat like? The batting, is it called like a fungo or a fun? Like, hey, Coach Anderson, shout out. We're gonna need some.
Yeah, detail. We need some baseball
this
lingo
is some old
here.
Don Meyer yeah. stuff, but like he'd tell us as you know players that Tony La Russa would go out and pre-practice with the fungo. Is it a fungo? I don't know. We need this detail.
I need
it's
to
in
know
my
this.
Old notebooks,
yeah.
but. He'd just bring the fungo bat out, and he'd walk around, and he'd try to get to three or four guys a day and just check in with them. Hey, how's it going? You know, whatever it is, before practice really started to hit, right, to connect them. So the point being, like, having a meeting without having a meeting. That's really important. Mm. I just got some clinic notes. There was a big Larry Shy clinic down in Florida, right? I was actually in North Carolina this year, but this old-school Florida clinic, Mark Pope spoke at it. He actually has, apparently— as he said, 30-minute meetings with his players every week. That's a lot, you know. And then wow. Tom Izzo got up, I guess, and said, hey, you must like your players way more than I do. I can't meet with these guys, you know, so who knows. But for me, this player meeting stuff beginning of the year is absolutely vitally important. And before we get in the weeds and the basketball stuff, I'll tell the whole thing. Like, there's no secrets here. But before we get in the weeds and the basketball stuff, kind of a summer recap, it's a check-in. Okay, let's talk about where are you living. Let's talk about meals. How are you eating? The on-campus guys is totally different than the off-campus mm-hmm. guys. And some really good habits come to light, some really bad habits. Like we have one player that is not doing a good job with his nutrition. He didn't realize it, but he's a guy that like nutrition is going to be vitally important for him to have a chance to create, you know, crack the rotation. And listen to me, I'm sure my mouth is, what? Like, what are we doing? Because he's been in college for a few years. And the assumption is he just knows, but no. So it's like, dude, we got to get you.
Is it like fast food and stuff or just?
Lack of calories.
Really?
Lack of calories, especially during the day. Like, and I'm like, hey, break down how you doing breakfast. And again, you just got to trust guys. Like, okay, well, you know, yeah. Then we got some guys who are like, yeah, I make egg white omelets and protein shakes, and I throw some. I'm like, wait, hold on now. Like, you really know how to do this stuff? Like, you know, I'm calling. Yeah. Like, really? Oh yeah, coach. So like, all right, but there's other guys if they're telling me the truth, have no idea what they're doing. So like, some issues are coming to light that are correctable. Got to do these. I don't want to learn this in November. I want to learn this now. So we have 4 to 8 weeks to fix your habits. And the way I explained to this young man is like, all right. You got a Ferrari, okay. You're going to put like, I think 85 is the lowest gas I see, but yeah. You want to put 81 gas in there? No, coach. What would you put in the Ferrari? Premium? Dude, you're a Ferrari. You are putting 72 level gas in your Ferrari, in your body right now, and you're expected to practice, to work out, to lift. No reason or no, this is why you're not moving right. Right? Like, we got to fix this. Maybe this is the problem, but this is why we have the meeting. So that it's not in the team setting. I'm not embarrassing. Like, so there is a point in time to have a one-on-one meeting. So I'm, like, writing these things down. So we talk about nutrition. That's a big thing. Check on academics. Okay, how'd you do in your summer class? Which I already have the data, but just, oh, yeah, you know, I got a B. Okay, good. Okay. All right. What is your fall? I don't need to know all your syllabi, your position coach, your academic advisor. Like, I know what you have, but I don't need to go too deep in the weeds in that. But, like, tell me this. How many face-to-face, how many online? Oh, yeah, coach, I got 3 face-to-face, 2 other. So you're in 15 credits. Okay, that's a lot. That's good, mm-hmm. but you better be detailed. Here's the challenge. The 3 face-to-face classes, you can't procrastinate anything. But those face-to-face classes, you start falling behind and falling behind. What happens is, start of November, we start traveling. And maybe it's a kid that came in from junior college or high school. They don't know how much we travel. It's first time here. In November, you're going to miss a lot of class. So if you're already behind, we're going to have issues. So get ahead, right? So we talk a little bit about the academic stuff. Did you get your stipends? Are you able to pay your bills? Like just all that stuff, like the financial stuff. Okay, now basketball. So we did 3 things from the summertime. We never showed them, but we reviewed all their summer basic stats. And we charted all that stuff in our scrimmages, 7 scrimmages before Portugal. Went back. Are there any themes we can find from your stats, just your basic stats? We go through all that. Hey, man, like, okay, you shot 10 twos and 23 threes. Do you feel like you're a sniper? Well, no, coach, I feel like you'd be about equal. Well, okay, well, that's something we probably need to fix. So, like, just some basic stuff. Then Coach Reed's our defensive coach, AOIs, areas of improvement. He went through every player on our summer scrimmages. That was a theme, and that's part of his job, to cut all the – and they're mainly bad clips. Now, he's softened a little bit 3 years. Last year, it was just all the disaster clips for every player individually. And this year, he actually put a little bit of sugar on at the end and gave him a couple good clips too. But, like, some dudes have, like, 7 clips. Some guys have 26 clips. this is not to embarrass you in front of the team, but of the 26 clips or the 7 clips or the 13 clips, your areas of improvement, let's watch these defensively. Can we find one or two common themes? Oh, you get beat outside, which is a cardinal sin for us. You've gotten beat outside 4 times. Write it in your notebook. You need to fix that because it's one of the things that will hold you back from playing. It's going to kill our team the way that we play. Oh, you're struggling to lock and trail to defeat screens. You are a screen magnet. You don't want to be a screen magnet, right? So, like, we go through some actual film from the summertime that we've saved till this meeting. And then we go one more set of stats that we have this year, the foreign trip stats. Everyone played 2 or 3 games. Okay. Oh, you're a crash guy. You have 4 offensive rebounds, but everyone else in your group has 8, 9, 10. That's an issue. Or, you know, similar position. You have 12 defensive rebounds in those 2 games. Everyone else says, that's a good thing. So we go through some basic stats,
interesting,
right?
Interesting.
So we're trying to go through all this stuff, but it's consistent with every player, right? 16 guys. So we're going through summer stats, summer defensive AOIs, and then foreign trip stats. Foreign trip film, I'm killing them on that the first 2 weeks. We're digesting all this foreign trip film in Portugal, and they're getting individual film on those games from their position coach. So we didn't do that. Okay, so we did that. Then it's okay, you got 4 things. This is what's cool about it. 4 things that when we have a meeting in about a month that you have to come back to the table to be a little bit more interactive, right? I want to hear from you. So write these in your notebook. Okay, the first one's academic. I want to know academic goal or goals. I leave it really loose in it, but, you know, probably academically it's like GPA or, you know, some of you guys on the later end, I got to make sure that I'm on pace to graduate, whatever it is. I want to get a little academic skin in the game before we talk about basketball. Then basketball goals. We used to just do the measurable goals. I believe in measurable goals, right? So we used to just do that. Give me 2, 3. Like, you could do a team goal, but we all know that. I want to win a team. We all know that. But for you individually, give me a couple goals. Make them measurable. I want to shoot 38% from 3 this year. I want to have a 2-to-1 assist to turn ratio. I want to be the defensive player of the year in the league. I want to, right? Things sure. that we can kind of put in stone and measure and this and that. I don't judge them on it, just like to move this. And then another basketball goal, which our sports psychologist, shout out Eddie, kind of enlightened me to. We've had some Eddie meetings, some psychology meetings. Those goals are cool. But also, what about the process stuff, right? Like Zach Block, we have these meetings. We're talking about just the process. He calls these, I'm going to screw this up, front pocket goals and back pocket goals. But the front pocket goals are the more process-based goals of, like, forget the measurables. What are you doing process-based to help yourself out, to become a better player? When you get to a weird spot psychology-wise, mentally. You know, he was kind of trying to throw some of these front pocket goals out. And, like, Zach, you know, raised hands. Like, you know, for me, it's like eyes on rim. So Zach's a sniper, and, like, for him, he's like, I want to try to make sure I get my eyes on that target as quick as I can as I'm ripping off a screen or whatever it is. You can't measure that, but it's more of a mental thing, right? Maybe a guy that's a free throw guy that's really struggling. How do you hit the reset button when you shank a free throw? So, like, bring a front pocket
that's
goal to the table.
Fascinating.
Oh, yeah. So it's a little psychology. So we got academic goals, basketball goals. Third thing, MPG test. You're going to love this
Michael
one,
Michael Porter Jr. test?
No, MPG.
Oh, G. You said G. Yeah.
Minutes per game test. So here's the thing. I want you to come in. I want you to tell me how many minutes per game in 4 weeks. The dust is still settling. I don't know who's going to play on this team. It's 16 guys.
Yeah.
Everyone, I keep saying, guys, I can't pull more than 8 or 9 of you guys. But how many minutes, be honest, how many minutes per game you think you're going to play on the team this year? And I will never share that with the rest of the team because that can be embarrassing. This dude said he's playing 23. You ain't going to get on. Like, that's not the point of it. But how many minutes per game, I'll write it down for the player, myself, and his position coach. I use it for, like, one, to see where they think. Like, I want to know what you think. Are we aligned, like, in a month, right before we start playing scrimmages and games? Like, if I think you're at, like, 12 and you think you're at 33, whoa. But maybe you're right, maybe I'm wrong. Again, like, we haven't played a game yet. But the real reason is, Brady, how many minutes are in a college basketball game?
Well, is it 40?
Okay, good. Yeah, not a trick question.
Just totally blanked out there.
That's right. I tell the guys.
I would be terrible in these meetings, by the way.
And so right now, 40 minutes in the game. I said, well, how many Bears are on the court at one time?
5. Yeah.
So how many minutes? When I get a very basic box score at the end of a game, it's going to say what? How many Bears minutes have been played?
Yeah.
Do you know how many?
How many Bears minutes? 40 minutes.
Times 5 on the court at a time.
Yeah.
That box score is going to say 200.
200, yeah.
So they give me 12, 23, 38, and then behind the scenes, I got to be the math guy and add them up. And do we add up to 200? Do you think it'll add up to 200 in their player perceptions?
I would imagine no.
No. It's going to add up to about 412, 500. It is. It's like 538. And so that's the only number I share with the team. All right, guys, we just had our player meetings, minutes per game.
Wow, that's cool.
538. Do you see a problem here, guys? Yeah, coach. What's the problem? There's only 200 minutes.
Yeah.
You just told me that we don't have 538. I might not even disagree with what you're saying, but there's not a 530-minute game. Guess what? Compete.
So many of the I have so many questions on that.
Yeah.
Because
this is good stuff.
You want guys to be realistic, right? Because you don't want to say, hey, I think this guy is a 12-minute guy. But then he comes at you and says, I don't know, a scrap guy. I'm coming for like 3 or 4 minutes.
That's right.
Because then you're like, well, this guy doesn't believe in himself. But you also don't want the guy that you think is 12 minutes to come in and say, yeah, I'm going to go 25 minutes.
Basic psychology.
Wow.
And then like, you know, we might have a young guy that like comes and says, coach, I think I'm going to play zero. I think I'm going to redshirt. Cool. Like, that's full. Zero.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, no, I want you. I just want to hear your opinion. I don't want to walk you out of your opinion. I just want to see what's on your mind. You're the one that's marinated on this for the last 4 weeks. Right? So it's like, eventually they'll like, we'll have a guy come, and this has happened. Usually it's on the high end.
Yeah.
And we're like, dude. But sometimes it's on the low end. Like, you know, coach, you can play 12, 15 minutes. We're like, we see you at like 25, 30. Right? Like, so maybe they lack confidence. Right? So
do you use that if they have too much confidence? What's that process like after that? Like,
nothing in that meeting.
Okay, nothing in that. You're just kind of like,
it's just data.
That's interesting.
It's just nothing. Okay, cool. Like, all right.
But now you know you got a guy that maybe you look down the road and go, okay, if he doesn't get that, could we have a problem?
That's right.
Wow.
And I'm not judging you. Just give me your minutes. And the only thing we'll share with the team is the accumulation of minutes, which for sure it's never hit 200. Not close.
But it is kind of fascinating because then it doesn't pinpoint somebody, but it does make the collective group go,
whoa.
Yeah, we all think pretty highly of ourselves.
Yeah. And and we can't, and we're all healthy, knock on wood, and we literally can't. So guys, we're 4 weeks in. Guess what happens about 4 weeks into all this stuff? Guys get tired of practicing. So maybe it's a little shot of adrenaline saying, hey, I know you're tired of practicing.
Motivates,
The storm's coming.
Awesome.
The games are coming. I'm just telling you right now, collectively, we cannot create a game with 512 minutes. And so when we have our little pod in like 4 weeks, say, hey, how many minutes? And I'll give you the answer, right? Because it's always like 412, 800, like who knows, right? We got 16 guys. And it's just a little mind game. And I think we did this with Coach Meyer. And again, the point is not to embarrass a guy, not to ever call them out in front of the team.
No, but that is so cool. Because
that can get really gnarly. Like, they lose trust in the coaches. Well, coach, you said you were – now, this dude said 30 minutes. You can't even dive on a loose – like, that's not the point of this. And then the last – okay, so we have academic, basketball, MPG. The last one's my favorite one. Warfare has changed. And people, oh, geez, somebody's talking about war. Like, foxhole test. Old school trench warfare. I don't know, World War One, World War whatever, right? Like back in the day, not so far back in the day in war where we didn't have guns. You gotta have guns, I guess. But so I get up in my office and they're facing me. I know people can't see us, but I'm like, do you know what a fox? No one knows what it is anymore, right? So it's like old school stuff. All right, do you know like what trench warfare is? No. So I'm like, all right, well, like we dug a hole. And let's just call it a circular hole, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now this is old school Don Meyer stuff, leadership stuff. I do not pick captains. I never have. I never will.
Mm.
Because it's like the old school Meyer. I can pick captains, but I can't pick leaders. And if I pick a captain and I screw that up, I pick the wrong guy, that's I have lost my team from day one.
Yeah.
I don't do it. I'm not going to put my – but I can pick captains, right? But you can't pick leaders. So the idea is this. Just to get another way to kind of see who are the leaders, who are the toughest guys, the guys everyone trusts the most, foxhole test. So if I'm facing you in a foxhole, we're hiding out, peeking our heads out. I'm trying to shoot you, trying to shoot me, right? We're across from each other. In a 360-degree radius, because there's enemies all over the place,
mm-hmm.
right? Where do I not see for sure? If I'm staring at you, I certainly don't see behind me.
Right.
So we make the guys draw a circle. I put on my little dry erase board. It's really, really, like, crazy. It's a circle. And I'll write, like, Ebu. Right?
Yeah.
Brock, whatever. You're facing this way. So the guy all the way behind you in the circle is worth 3 points. Guy three. He's the guy you have to trust the most because you have no vision. Then we say we're right eye dominant, most of us, because most of us are right. I don't know if that's true or not. So, like, I don't want podcast attacks. It's just how we sell it. But if I'm drifting more to my right, I don't see quite as much to my left side. If I'm staring here, the dude to my left is worth two. And then the dude to my right's worth one, but they're all in the foxhole. It's all like.
And they're all kind of somewhat protecting a blind spot.
So then we say, okay, they're like, Coach, I don't know what you're talking about. So, let's just say we go to downtown Greeley. And, you know, you guys, I'm not advocating for this, but say you make some bad decisions. You know, you go to the Rio, shout at this sponsor, go to the Rio, maybe, you know, you screwed up, had a morgue or something, start talking crazy to some dudes in the bar. Like, this is some way we can kind of relate this. You're in the bar and you say some stupid stuff. Meet me in the alley. You think you're going 4-on-4, but guess what? You're going 4-on-12. 12 enemy show up. You got problems. So now you got to put your dukes up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now if you guys are circled up, there's only 4 of you against 12. The guy behind you, you know, back to back, he better be tough, because if he's soft, you're going to get knocked in the head, right?
Yep.
You can't see the guy behind you. So it's like, geez, now we're talking about fighting. Let's just talk about the final possession. In the Big Sky Tournament champ, we went up one. You can pick 3 teammates. Same thing. But it's not to score, it's to get a stop. We're up one. There's one possession left. What 3 teammates in that order, a 3, a 2, and a 1, do you trust the most to get us dancing? So they think about it. So then in 4 weeks, I'm like, you don't even know yet. Like, we got to go through some shared suffering. We got to go through some more lifting and this and that. We got to go through some tough times. But in 4 weeks, I want to know. So you write your name here. And in a circle, and directly behind you is worth 3, to your left is worth 2, to your right is worth 1. And I will never share this with the teammates. Well, what if my roommate's not in my foxhole, right? Like, and this is not the guy that you want to go hunting with, and, you know, hey,
yeah.
This is the guy when it's down to it, like, you're down to your last dollar, that guy's got your back, right? That's the whole point of it. So from a leadership perspective, and we take every guy, and I have a little spreadsheet, and I put 3, 2, 1, and put all the players in, and I want to see from the team who emerges, who gets the most points.
I just love that kind of thing.
Yeah, and then also who gets the least points. I will never share that with the team, but as a staff, oh, we know. And so we know, okay, well, this guy and this guy and this guy, they're what the team perceives to be the guys they trust the most, because it's a ranking system.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't share with the guys.
What does that do for you? Does that make you go, okay, this is the guy that is probably maybe not leader is the right word, but maybe that's
trust,
the guy that
just trust and like, you know, oh, geez, the guys really trust this guy. And something will pop out of that. It might not be the leading scorer. It might not be the guy that gets the most wins, but geez, the guys trust this guy. Well, if we give this guy a chance or whatever it is, maybe it's not about him scoring so much of this, but maybe, you know, what he brings to the table is more valuable, like Connor Creech.
Yeah.
Connor Creech.
Great example, because I would imagine he was the guy that was listed as 3 a lot.
He's in a lot of foxholes. Creech's in a lot of foxholes, but then it's also why Creech now is skyrocketing through a really hard coaching profession. You know, he's tough enough to be on Dan Hurley's staff at UConn.
So cool.
He's a leader. He's a warrior, right? So, like, it doesn't have to be. I'm sure St. Thomas was in everyone's foxhole. Saint was an energetic, volatile person. But you know what? That dude would dive on every loose ball in practice, and guys trusted him, right? Doesn't have to be that. It could just be like the calming presence of Jaron Riley. Super high IQ, but also a guy that just people trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to see, like, the best players. Who do the best players put in their foxholes? It's really –
that,
some,
all
sometimes
that is really
you can
cool.
find you can find some, like, issues – culturally, where it's like, wait a second, this guy didn't put this guy in his foxhole, but this guy should have clearly been in the foxhole. Do we have an issue? Are we clicky?
Mm-hmm.
You can glean a little bit of data out of that. So again, like in these meetings, talking about stats, it's all about the player. But like, okay, academic goals, basketball goals, MPG test, foxhole. So we're not just talking. Like,
yeah.
Let's bring some.
We're making them think. It's not just how you doing, man.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times these guys aren't going to open up and say,
"That's right,
I got this, 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 and this." Sometimes they might.
Yeah.
But this gets them talking.
Gets them talking, and then it doesn't embarrass them. And I think too, we're still building relationships. We got 82 guys.
Yeah.
We're down the line because we had the foreign trip. But these guys, they still like, hey, can I really trust these guys? Like,
mm-hmm.
And you can lose trust. Like you. Reveal in the heat of the moment in a practice in a month from now, one guy's minute per game because you're mad at that guy or whatever, and you call it like you've lost trust in that kid forever, yeah. I think. So, like, again, we always say trust is given, mistrust is earned. I trust all these dudes, and hopefully they trust us too. Mistrust is earned. So, like, as we go through these little kind of exercises, but it's fun.
Oh, I think it's a blast.
It's fun, and it's interesting.
Have you ever had players that that can't answer the foxhole question, or they don't answer it all the way? Like, they give you one player, and then they're like, I don't know who else.
We make them.
Yeah.
You have to.
You have to.
It's
do
a
it.
Non-negotiable.
You're not leaving until you figure like
you
that out.
You got to put this in there.
Do they, is there sometimes where they,
easy way out.
Where they answer it, but you can almost feel they're just saying a name?
Oh, there's sometimes, like, you know, the young guys, like, they might just put their other three young freshman guys.
Yeah.
And like, you just say,
they know them more. Yeah.
And you just say, this is wrong. Like, but it's like, dude, okay, if that's who you trust, that's great. But it's like, don't you trust the guy that's, you know, I don't know, been here 3-5 years, or the guy that's, like, literally taking every 50-50 ball, diving on every ball? So, yeah, like, you know, there's always a little bit of, like, hey, man, I know he's your roommate, but, like, this dude's the softest dude in the world. Like, come on, man. Like, you really trust this guy, like, in a bar fight?
So you don't reveal, obviously, their selections, like, who selected who. But do you ever reveal, like, hey, the vast majority of you guys selected Brock Wisney as your three?
We might. But we also, too, in private, the guys that get good numbers, hey, man, you won the foxhole, just so you know.
Yeah.
Your teammates really believe in you, so you need to bleed that every day. You know, we always say, you know, three guys can't have a bad practice. Probably four guys. Three guys can have a head coach, the best player, the point guard. That's old school stuff, but we still say it. The head coach, best player, and point. But probably, like, the fourth one is the foxhole guy. Dude, your team said you're the guy. You can't have a bad practice. You can't. You know what I mean? I think guys take a lot of pride in that. Even like they're a little banged up. You know, the guys that have put the most time into it, probably in the foxholes, they don't miss practice. And so I think there's a lot of positivity in that too.
That's all those are. The minutes per game is really fascinating, just to kind of gather what they think
it
of themselves.
It messes with them a little bit.
And then the foxhole thing is really cool.
Yeah.
So you're in the midst of these right now. Is that right, Coach?
My final tour today.
Final tour today?
Yeah. My final tour today. And then what I'll do, too, is I'll take I'm taking notes, the position coach. But the position coach is only in, like, a fourth of the meetings, right? We have four position coaches. I'm in all 16. So this week, and one of my deals is I'm driving down to Colorado Springs to watch my daughter play the Lewis Palmer Volleyball Classic.
Lewis Palmer, yeah.
My wife takes the bullet. She'll drive that one. I'll be putting all these notes together into a document to share with the staff. And, again, like the check-in stuff, the nutrition stuff, like just finding out, like, hey, is there anything that is a little bit off kilter? We want to be off on the right foot. But it's like, it's easy. Hey, be great your first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, like, there are some dudes that their stipends are screwed up. Like, wait, you didn't get your stipend? Well, maybe it's because you didn't set up direct deposit and got mailed back home. Like, I didn't get a stipend. Well, you didn't. Mm. So, like, We want to eliminate losing. This is about forget winning. Eliminate losing. And then we can worry about winning in the first 2 weeks. It's like, hey, did you get to all your classes? Are you behind? You know what a study hall is? What's your rule for study hall? Like, all this little stuff, it all kind of goes together. It's a frustrating 2 weeks for me because I'm behind on all my type A org chart list stuff. But these are more important right now.
Yeah.
These are more important right now, is to get through the player stuff and just make sure we're off on the right foot.
I just have to ask. Can you and you can just say I'm not going to reveal it. Who's the foxhole guy right now? Do we have?
We don't have. Well, I don't know.
Because you got a couple more left. A couple more meetings.
And they don't turn this in for 4 weeks.
They don't turn it in until four. Okay.
I have nothing. I have no data. All we're doing.
Can we reveal that on the show?
Yeah, I don't mind. Yeah, I mean, for sure.
I'm curious because I don't know all of these guys that well.
Yeah.
You know, I get to know typically one throughout the season with what I know Brock's going to be hanging out with us a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm fascinated by that because this is stuff me, but especially the fans, they don't know.
Yes.
They don't know, like, okay, he's a good player on the floor, but what's he like off the floor?
That's right.
And if we say this was the foxhole guy.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And I think it's just a cool little thing. And I think when you're really invested into a program, you want to be that guy. Right. And we can't get all the way into what's going on inside each guy. Like, man, I know guys that have been here for a while. They want to be that guy. But I think you learn, too, like, we have all these eight new guys. Do the new guys emerge into some foxholes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, again, like I brought up Saint before. I'm sure Quinn Danker, I can't remember last year's stats, but I'm sure he was in a lot of foxholes.
I would imagine Quinn Danker was in a lot of those, yeah.
But he was, you know, again, it's just like last year he's new. Like, I'm sure he was in some foxholes. You start to learn, like, oh, geez, this guy believes in this guy. Like, we all talk about, like, in battle, who's your best two-man lineups and three-man lineups. We have all this weird analytical data, four-man lineups, five. Like, we can tell you that, but what three guys trust each other, right? Like, that's an interesting thing, too. You know, you could probably foxhole all the way to five guys if you wanted to, but I don't know how to draw a six-person foxhole, man. So.
I love – okay, my brain just – would you be comfortable ever doing your – of the players you head coached at UNC, your all-time five? Would you ever be comfortable doing that? Or is it like a way for you – like, oh, no, I don't want to –
it's really hard because like the
like
talent
your top point
of it,
guard, your top two.
It's really hard, right? Like, I mean, you know, it's probably more downside than upside. I just listened to someone do that. Full court press podcast. Dudes are funny dudes, and they. I think they asked Kelvin Sampson that on the deal. I've been on it before. It was one of the first guys, and the dude lives in Fort Collins.
Does he really?
So, yeah. Cool. So it's sort of like mid-major. So I have this sweatshirt called Mid-Major versus Everybody. It's really cool. Nice. It's hard to get your hands on that. Now, as their brands expand, now they're getting into the big dogs, right? The Kelvin Sampsons. But the guy's a funny dude, man. Like, he'll ask you, what if you were a candle, what's your favorite scent? Weird stuff, man. But I think Kelvin Sampson, who's your top five? He's like, oh, man, that's hard.
Impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, 90 NBA guys. But, like, it would be fun to say, like, you know, your all-time team or something like that. Like, your Olympic team where you can carry 12 to 13. We have 15 guys in the pros currently right now.
Yeah.
How about that?
Might be pretty easy just to go off of that list
if it's just based off town. But maybe you need a Connor Creech. Maybe you need some of those Warriors.
That's 100%.
You probably do. Yeah. So, like, yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be a fun exercise.
Do, like, a 1 through 12 kind of.
Something.
And maybe you don't have to list who's starting or whatnot. You could just go 1 through 12.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Yeah.
However you want to do that.
I'd be very careful on that. I'm not trying to get guys mad at me. And it's how do you pick between?
Yeah, we don't have to do it. It'd be fun.
And then you always have recency bias. And it's like, I give a shout out to Dalen Coons. People talk about the portal guys and the transfer guys and how we've, and they start with, and just these awesome talented guys, and they kind of start with Dalton to Saint to Isaiah. And Dalen kind of gets left out. I get really sensitive about that because Dalen was the first dude, came from CU, and Dalen was the 10th leading scorer in America.
He was awesome.
Awesome. And sometimes people forget about it. We had the Dalen Coons show here, right? Like, people forget because it really just got overheated in a great way, how it exploded to Tennessee, to the NBA. It's, what a great story. But let's not forget about Dalen, you know, in terms of coming in. If you really want to go back to it, like back in the Jeff Flint, like Andre Spite, right?
Yeah.
Like, but like in our world, our era, the Dalen thing. So yeah, it'd be hard to pick, you know.
Oh, I'm just thinking of
it'd
like
be fun though.
I'm just thinking of like how many player shows we've done because was Dalen? We worked with Bodie. Was Bodie first or was it Dalen?
Yeah, Bodie, Dalen.
Last year was
really?
Jaren, and then
we'd have to go back. But it
who
was
before
Dalen.
Jaren? It was Jaren really, and then the year before that, I'm blanking out. And then I think we're looking to work with Mr. Wisney this year.
Mr. Wisney, so. Yeah. Was it, I don't know who it was. That's a great question, but like, and that stuff's so cool too.
I love doing it. It's so much fun. I know we've got some plans for Brock, and I got a chance to meet with him a little bit. It's been months ago now, but looking forward to catching up with him.
It's ramping up. So, I thought player meetings was a good thing to talk about. We could go down some weird rabbit holes.
When you walked in and said player meetings,
that sounds boring.
Is it like TPS reports and stuff, like your report card? But as you're going and you're like minutes per game, that's really cool. But I really love the Foxhole thing.
Yeah,
that is
give them something to think about. Like, you know, again, I think the key to these things is what's said in private should not be exposed in public. I think that's from a leadership, whether it's a basketball team, you're running a radio station. Like, I do think people lose trust in people, right? Again, trust is given, mistrust is earned.
Yeah.
We try to get our guys to really believe in that. When you say some stuff in confidence and then it gets spewed onto the court usually out of a moment of frustration. We're bad, we're on a bad practice, we lost two in a row, and I'm saying crazy stuff, and boom. You know, that snowball rolls a lot slower uphill, right? Building trust. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes energy. But, boy, that snowball can roll downhill in an egg. So, like, that's the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, Coach, thanks for sharing all that with us. That was a lot of fun, man.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. I might use that, some of that on my own here
at
some point.
I don't know. Measure minutes per game. But like, maybe you can, you know, I don't know. There's got to be some analytics.
Like Tanner barely puts in that, you know, he thinks he plays more than he does.
Yeah.
Coach, always appreciate you, my friend. Looking forward to catching up with you next week.
Yep.
And we'll be rocking and rolling as always. This was a lot of fun
today.
Let's
keep building.
All right, two-man game presented by Renaissance Insurance, our guy Ryan Hicks.
Yep.
I'm due to meet with him pretty soon.
Good.
So, Ryan, I know we talked about it. We're going to go hang out at the new place, Big City Roadhouse, opening today, actually.
Shout out to Ryan Hicks and the entire Hicks family. He just brought his kids down to college at GCU. I got him on the phone a little while. He was down to GCU, and what a great thing. Both kids go to the same college.
Cool.
Makes the moving a little easier.
Oh, yeah.
You want to talk about efficiency.
Having a sibling there. Oh, yeah. They get it. Well, and he takes that to the insurance world, too. They're very efficient when it comes to that.
I hope he's laughing right now if he's listening to this
thing. He loves it.
Shout out.
Ryan Hicks, Renaissance Insurance Group. Coach, appreciate you,
absolutely,
my friend.
All right.
The Two Man Game podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!